Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Just random mores all over the place. More. We want more. Who wants more? I want more. I was last Sunday was with a Sri Lankan Tamil-speaking church in Toronto, and we've met with them a few times, and this time I went to speak to the whole congregation on Sunday and meet with them, and when we were done, they had a bunch of questions for us. They've been in operation for about a year, but they're not affiliated anywhere, and some of the folks there had connections with our apostolic church in Sri Lanka, so they called and wanted someone to come and spend some time with them, which we've done. And right away before I left, he says, "We want to be hooked up with you. We want to get hooked up with you." I said, "It's going to cost you 5% of your giving." He said, "No problem. We want to be hooked up with you." So I said, "Man, that's awesome." So they said, "Where do we sign? What do? We sent them the forms, and we grew another church last week. Added another church to our network, and it's awesome. So we're looking for more. And Pastor Tim was with us from Castlefield Christian Fellowship at our leadership party, and he told me his leadership has sent him down with a message that they don't want to just be a part of our network, don't want to just be mentored by us, but they want to become an impact church. They want to be totally hooked up with the impact label. They want to be a part of not just the Apostolic Church, not just affiliated and mentored and helped, but they want to be Impact Church Toronto. Isn't that awesome? So we're going to do Impact Church Toronto, Impact, exactly, Impact Church North York. We're going to do Impact Church Scarberia, Impact Church everywhere. We're going to flood. We've got about five or six churches right now that are affiliated with us in Metro Toronto, and we're just believing the Lord for just I'm looking to develop a strong relationship in the GTA. I got a strong vision for just a group of churches, strong, powerful, mighty churches in the GTA. I believe we need to even, I believe the Apostolic Church need to, but I'm so excited about Impact Church now. I believe Impact Church needs to have a strong Impact Church in Toronto. And a really thriving, powerful church. So I can't tell you how excited I am about that. I mean, I could try, but it would take a long time. But the vision is big, and this year coming up is going to be wild, incredible advances are going to take place in the kingdom. So I'm so very excited that a vision that we've had for years and years and years is beginning to unfold, and I believe God's going to breathe on it rapidly. Ha! Huh. Some other really good news here. We've got a few folks we're going to be adding to our group of deacons here, and we're looking forward to that. But we also are going to put someone in our eldership, and we're going to actually add Pat Watt to our eldership. And so we're very excited about that. For a long time, Cheryl said, "You know, we need more women in this eldership." You know, I kept on saying that. And but, you know, we don't just toss people in and give them titles. We want to recognize functions. And without question, I'll tell you, Pat's been functioning as an elder in this house and manifesting a real gift to shepherd and to care for, to nurture, to equip, and to bring forth giftings and callings in people's hearts and lives. And I am so honored to see the gift of God in your life and that you'll function with us. And you know, we said we recognize it in you, and she said yes, which is amazing in itself. So she wants to step up and just be a part of the team here that's going to flow together as our eldership team. So I am very excited about that, and you should be off the chart about that. So it's good, good, good. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, we're going to talk about more today. Hey. Wow. Oh, feels good. Feels good to talk about how good he is. It makes my cheeks tingle, and that's a good thing for me. I don't know if it's a good thing for you, but it's a good thing for me. So I would like more. We talked a few weeks back about more. Cheryl picked it up again last week, and we're just trying to create this tension for you about more, because I believe God wants us to always. I mean, it's not just for a couple of days or a few weeks we want you to look for more. I want you to have it as a way of life, that I want you to have a desperation and a hunger for everything everything that God has to be manifest in your heart and in your life. Why? Because the world needs to be saved. The world needs to be touched. You know what? There's a few believers in the earth. I want more. There's people with a testimony of God's healing in the earth. I want more. There's a testimony of people who've been delivered from the captivity of Satan. I want more. There's people who've been delivered from deception and bondage. I want more. I want more. And as long as I see in any way that the kingdom of darkness has anyone in captivity, I want more. It's like the game of Risk. I want to take over the earth. I want all of his checkers to fill the whole thing and beat up every other kingdom and every other advance. We want to see our buckets full and overflowing. We want more. Amen. That shouldn't put any pressure on you. All the pressure's on God. All the pressure's on God. There's no pressure on you. He's just looking for anybody to just agree with him and say, can I use you? Can I breathe on you? Can I, in and through your life, manifest my goodness and my grace? All you got to do is say yes. It doesn't mean that, you know, oh my God, less time with my kids, less time with my wife. Oh my goodness. Doesn't mean any of that. It just means, because how many would like more comfort? More. Had somebody say to me, oh man, this is pushing my buttons, Pastor, because I'm pretty comfortable. I said, how would you like to be more comfortable? Man, I'm telling you, you don't have a revelation anymore. Because, you know, here's the thing. It's like, God wants more from me. That means my life's going to be miserable. How stupid is that? You don't know God. You don't know God. If God wants to do more for you, that's going to be happy. That's going to be good. You'll never be so satisfied and so wrecked and full of joy as when you said, come on, big fella, take it all. I'm ready. Because, boy, he's not going to, well, I'm serving God. It's going to be ugly, you know. Serving God, he's going to, you know, that's a Bible school. You know, people are there, you know, you're called to serve God. He's probably going to send me to some miserable country where they don't speak my language and all they eat is couscous and I'll have to kiss some girl who can't kiss. You know, I mean, couscous is good. I'm not picking on, you know, couscous. If you eat couscous, God bless you. More. I got to get going. I got to go. Come on. More. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion. There's one single particle of this earth that is not dominated by the kingdom of God, then we should want more. Psalm 15:14, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children through every generation. It's a cry for more. Proverbs 11:24, there is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right. It leads to poverty. Matthew 25:29, for to everyone who has more will be given with abundance. They will have abundance. But from him who does not have it, even what he has will be taken from him. I mean, if you're somebody who says, I don't want more, you're going to lose even what you got. Is that right? I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. What do you do with this tension between my desire? What do I do? What do I do with this tension between my desire for more and where I am right now? Well, there's always that tension. There's always that hunger. And I think it's written in the heart of every person. It says eternity is in the heart of every man. What does that mean? Well, that means that there's a spot in them that seeks for God. No, there's a spot in them that seeks for eternity. It seeks for domination. It seeks for the eternal purposes of God. It seeks to manifest all that he is. And you see, we know that there's more for me and that every single person knows that from the day they're born. That's why everybody says, supersize me. If you want more, it's written right in there, written in your DNA when you're born. And then when you're born again, it's written in your DNA to desire the kingdom. But that hunger, people fill it with all kinds of stupid things. Some people do crazy things. I need to go to a new place, a new car, a new wife, new this, new that, midlife crisis, all kinds of stupidity. But you know, that happens when, you know, you don't know him. Then there are those who've been beat down by life experiences. I'm tired. I tried to believe for healing. I really went for it. Well, how did you go for it? Well, I did this. I did that. I did this. Did you just say thank you, Jesus, and receive it? You mean that's it? That's all I got to do? Yeah, just thank him. It's a done deal because you were healed 2,000 years ago. It's not something that's got to get done. It's something you got to receive. It's not more work for you. It's just receiving. It's pushing out of the way all the stupid things that keep you from his goodness. And that's a good thing. More. 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 My belief in more has been challenged. Therefore, I settled for average. I've edited my desires. I used to believe God was really, really great. But I've settled down to a God who's just okay. You know, and I've made a deal now that, you know, if the devil kind of leave me alone for a while, I won't do nothing, won't expect nothing. I'll just, my next exciting thing is, Jesus, get us out of this mess. And, you know, I'll just dumb it all down. And, you know, it's all good. I'll just sit here, be happy, just, yeah, whatever. And sometimes Christians are the most unexciting people in the world when they should be the most wild, reckless, like, whoa, I am wired to take over the globe. Yeehaw, and I got all the resources to do it. And that's the absolute truth. It is the absolute truth. Thing is, we've been so beat down every time we stuck our head up. So we say, can't do that, stop that. What are you trying to do? Don't do that. You just hurt yourself. Oh, okay, okay. That's what religion does. Stop it now, stop it now. Nothing good's going to happen, no. Don't even believe nothing good can happen. You're just going to get sore. Going to hurt yourself trying to believe God's good. He'll be good someday. In the sweet by and by, he'll be good. But right now, it's all bad. It's all bad. That's not true. He's good right now. When Jesus came, he broke away every nasty, ugly thing. He defeated the devil right there at the cross. He thoroughly defeated him, and he introduced a new kingdom, a new reign, and a new rule. And we should be walking in that in Jesus' name. So don't edit your imaginations or desires. Don't filter them with your reality. Filter them with the word of God and bring forth the kingdom. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Ephesians 3. We read Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. But, I mean, I love Ephesians. The first three chapters are all about our position in God. And he's setting us up. Like, when you believe in my inheritance, you mean I get to live out of the glory of God? You mean, like, my paycheck is actually hooked up to your eternal realm? You mean my voice, I can activate things? You've given me spiritually active words that operate in the heavenly realm. When I speak in the heavenly realm, I create things? Man, are you? So I'm not seated here. I'm seated with you in heavenly places. I'm reigning and ruling above everything. Wow, that's amazing. So he lays out all these wonderful promises in three chapters. And then at the end of those three chapters, he says, now that's all good, but now go bigger. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we do or we imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. So Cheryl made it real clear last week that your part is to ask and imagine. His part is to do. His part is to download the power. His part is to bring it all into manifestation. Your part is to just say, could I have some of that? I've just been imagining some wild stuff. Can you do that? Boom. Your part is just to ask and imagine. It really, really is. But you see, it's so easy, we get messed up. Now, to him who is able, and in consequence of his action and his power that is at work within us, he's able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above all we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Oh, man, I tell you, that's a God thought. Give you a cramp right there. Just mess you up. Now, Paul doesn't manage our expectations for more. He doesn't dumb them down. He pushes us right off the edge. He says, now, with all that in mind, get wild about your expectations. Push it to your wildest extremes. Get out there with your imaginations. Get out into the realm of immeasurably more, all right? So your capacity to walk in immeasurably more is determined by your ability to imagine. Your capacity to walk in immeasurably more is determined by your ability to imagine. Say capacity. Your capacity to walk in that is determined. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. See, a lot of people believing and confessing, but they didn't get a real good desire. We got to get our desires really, really big. We got to start asking things that are as big as God. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So you got to believe you got it and then you get it. What? So I get it after I say I receive it? You got to believe you got it, then you get it. That is so messes up people's heads, but you got to believe you got it. You got to see that in the realm of the imagination. You got to get the lock in your spirit. You got to say, ha, 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 got it. Thank you, Lord. No, you don't got it. I don't see it. Oh, I do. I got it. I don't see it. Oh, I see it. I seen it already. I tell you, I got it. Oh, you're just fooling yourself. You're just walking in a realm of spiritual deception. That's just weirdness. No, it's not. I tell you, I got it. And if you believe you got it, you get it. But you see, there's the walk you got to walk in, because everything tries to come against you, doubt, fear, every other thing, and says, nope, not going to happen. No, not going to happen. Just zip your lip and believe you got it. All right, so the gap is not big positionally. The gap is not big positionally because you are right now positionally. All the first three chapters of Ephesians are all about your position in Christ. So the gap is not big positionally because it is finished. It is finished. You literally, everything you need to do, everything that God wants to do in and through you is already done. So the gap is not big positionally, but the gap is big practically. I just have to tell you that. I look around today, there's some gap. I look at my life, there's some gap. I look at my own experience, there's some gap. And I want to close the gap. And if that gap is not offensive to me, then I got a problem. See, we should be appalled that there's any difference, because I live by this tension. My life should be as it is in heaven. That's it, right? And I should be operating as Jesus is, because it says the mission I was given, the same one he had, John 17. And then Jesus also said, as I was sent, I send them. And then in 1 John, he says that as he is, so are we in this world. So we need to operate. If there's any area in my life where I am not, when people run into me, it's like running into Jesus. And when people ran into Jesus, they didn't just get their expectations met. They got way above. They got exceedingly abundantly. So there should come a time where there is a people on the earth before Jesus returns that literally are Christians. That literally are people that when you run into them, your whole world is shifted, changed radically. You are touched and changed forever. That's why, I don't know about you, but that's why I want more. I want more. I want more for me. I want more for this church. I want a church that believes for that and is walking in that. Oh, Pastor. Oh. You're getting everybody stirred up again. They're all going to get disappointed. I don't know why you think we're all going to walk around and be like Jesus. Because the Bible says so. If you don't like that chapter, what other chapter do you want to pull out? I like the ones where he saves me. I like the ones where he heals me. How about the ones where you now release salvation and you release healing? How about the ones where he operates through you now and you change the world just like he did? Come on, you should be walking supernaturally. Your life should be every single day unexplainable. Unexplainable. Good. Cheryl gave a quote from Bob George, and Bob George said, he said, it's observed that it's possible, listen, it is possible for a Christian to live as a practical atheist. That is, a person who, despite right doctrine, approaches life as if he himself were the only resource available. So I hear this word about what I can be, and now I go out and try to do that based on my ability and my strength. And so every day I go and I live just like my neighbor who's not saved. Every day. And every day we keep on going. He lives in a house. He's got a wife. I got a wife. I live in a house. He's got a truck. I got a car. We got stuff. It all looks pretty much the same. And I'm living my life just like him. He's working hard. He's doing stuff. Da, da, da. I'm working hard. I'm doing stuff. Looks pretty much the same, doesn't it? But you know what? If I'm living a normal life like that, it's pretty average, pretty mediocre, then I am a practical atheist. Because in practice, there is no evidence of anything supernatural in my life. See, if I'm a Christian, it means Christian, Christ, the anointed one, smears my life, and everything I do, I operate out of his power and his ability. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And it's his power that brings into manifestation the purposes of God. So when I think about all of that, I don't know about you, but I just kind of go, more. Thank you. So I love it because Cheryl gave those definitions of mediocrity. Those are scary things. I was like, oh my goodness, that's awful. I don't want to be mediocre. I refuse mediocrity. I want to be agitated by the challenge of more. Mediocrity is a form of lying. Wow, that must have been an intense sermon. You see, I wouldn't be that hard on people, but you were pretty intense, man. Mediocrity is a form of lying. Whoa. I'm just going to be an average Christian. Mediocrity is a form of lying. You tell yourself and you lie that you can't do any better in the name of some sort of weakness. In the name of some, well, Pastor, you have to understand, they dropped me on my head when I was a kid. Yep. I dropped myself on my head a few times. So it's, you know, we're so quick to make excuses instead of just saying, I believe. And, you know, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I mean, it's not, Pastor beat me. I felt terrible leaving church today. He told me I should be more like Jesus. I don't mind singing the hymn, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him all through life's journey from earth to glory. I'm not asking when he comes back I'll be like him, but that's a great hymn. And all of my life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. What does that mean? Ought to be nice to people. No, it means to manifest the kingdom of God, to heal, to deliver, to wreck the kingdom of darkness and loose the kingdom of God in here. To be like Jesus. It's a cute hymn, but come on. People sing that and they're practical atheists. They don't believe a word they're singing. But I believe it. And I believe we can raise up a group of impact churches throughout this nation that will walk in a power and the spirit of revival, and they will change the cities of Canada, and Canada will be ablaze with the glory of God, and we will see the power of God go from the rivers to the ends of the earth. For that to happen, we need more. We need more. So Cheryl said, the scripture declares there's more. The Holy Spirit confirms there's more. And my DNA demands the pursuit of more. We have his divine nature. Literally, another passage says you have the divine. And the Greek word is the sperma. It literally means that the seed of God is in you to manifest what he wants. So you know what? I didn't have to. It wasn't a lot of effort for me to try to look like my dad. It was already in there. It was written in the DNA. Now everywhere I go, you look just like your dad. I go, I know, I've been trying all my life to be like my dad. It didn't take a lot of effort. It was just written in there. It's just in the code. It just happens. Boom! And when it's in your code, your father, Abba, his code is in you. And it doesn't take a whole pile more effort. You just do it every single day of your life, living and breathing in and agreeing with who you are in Christ. Amen. All right. So Bill Johnson said, oh, here it is. Give me one more slide. Bam! There it is. Woo! That's it! Yes! How hard was that? That's it. I thought you'd put some handles on it or something. That Jesus? Nah, I could have figured that out myself. Sunday school kids, when they don't know what's going on, they just go, Jesus? That's it, Pastor? Yes, that's it. Let me show you. All right? Bill Johnson, he said this. I love this. Bill Johnson says it so often. But he says, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. If you want perfect theology, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. He is the pattern of how we should live. If there's a gap between the way he lived and my life, I must close the gap. I must increase. I must increase. Everyone who came to Jesus experienced the kingdom and left with more than they expected. And if there's a gap between where I am today and where he is, then come on, I want to close that gap. So it's all about creating that tension. Hebrews 1:1-2, it says, God, who at various times in various ways spoke. Listen to that now. Have you read the Bible and tried to think about it at the same time? It's a good thing to do. Some people just read it, reading the Bible. But it's good to read it and think about it. It's good to read it and say, teacher, teach me what's going on here. So God, who at various times in various ways. What various times? Various times. All throughout until the time of Jesus, various times and places, through various ways. He spoke through prophecy, he spoke through the law, he spoke through poetic gifts, he spoke through all of these things. In various ways he spoke in the past. So God spoke at various times in various ways, and he did all this in the past to the fathers by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken. He has in these last days spoken. The final word from the Father, all of that stuff pointed to the fact that we were in desperate need of redemption. That's what all that did. And in various times, in various ways, he painted the big picture of how messed up we are and how much we need a redeemer. But in the end, the perfect message, the perfect theology, he spoke in the last days through and by his Son. Jesus! That is the final message. That is complete theology. That is the final word. Therefore, Jesus and anything else is religion. Jesus and anything else is bondage. Jesus and anything else is a different gospel. This is very important. Jesus and some health food and you could be healed. Another gospel. Jesus and a better job and I could be prosperous. Another gospel. You can, and you know what? Most of us got religion. Because we got all kinds of stuff in that blank. You get this? Here's one. Well, Jesus, yes, but wisdom. Well, I thought Jesus was wisdom. Well, yes, but you need Jesus and pastor. Come on, you need some wisdom. Well, I got Jesus. But they tag on wisdom like it's like the, you know, that's how we get off the hook. Yeah, well, they got Jesus, but they need wisdom. Oh, so what you're saying is that I'm not manifesting Jesus because they got no wisdom. Oh, well, God Almighty said that Jesus is the final word, that he has become, it says in Corinthians, who has become for us wisdom from God. But we add these little tags, we add these little things, we add all this little stuff, and then we got us all on this treadmill of, well, you're not manifesting because blah, 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 because Jesus and blah, blah, blah is what makes the difference. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying there's a realm we can step into that you don't even got faith to walk in yet, because you plumb are stuck on the blank. Me too. I got some blanks too. But I want all those to change. I want more of Jesus. Okay, now that I've messed you up a little bit there, let's move on to more messing up. Jesus alone is the final revelation from heaven that reconciles mankind to all the rights and privileges of a vibrant relationship with their heavenly Father. He alone is the model. Close the gap. Do not create a theology of excuse. See, rather than closing the gap and saying, I got a gap, and focusing on dealing with the gap, we create a theology of excuse because we can't handle it. But we got to close the gap. I will not create a theology that makes lack a man of. I will not create a theology that makes my lack of manifestation okay. It's not okay. It's like we're here today for your Christian job performance. You're coming in, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to talk about how you've been doing. Well, you'll never get fired. He's always going to love you. But he did say, test yourself and see if you're in the faith. I didn't say it. He did. Test yourself and see if you're in the faith. And he said that to believers. Sometimes we got to test ourselves and say, my God, I actually have been okay with the gap. There are some things I was really contending for. They haven't come into manifestation. I was pretty much said, good enough. Whatever. I'm okay with that. It's not okay to be okay with that. Sorry. I know. I'm sorry about that. Some other places it is okay. And we mask it all in love and tolerance. But I refuse to be tolerated. Toleration is such an ugly word. You know, I don't agree with you, but I'll tolerate you. Oh, thanks. I'd rather you hate me. At least I'm in your head every day. It is not okay to not be like Jesus. It's not okay. You were called to manifest the fullness of the kingdom, and it's not okay to fall short. Why? There's not just sins of commission, there's sins of omission. And here's the great big sin of omission. For all have sinned and fallen short of manifesting the glory. What is the big sin? Not being who you're called to be. Will I be held accountable for that sin? Well, we'll stand at the judgment seat. Not for did you accept Jesus, but the judgment seat where all of our works will be tested. And that's why there's half an hour of tears in heaven, because you all go, holy crap, I should have listened to Pastor Carl. Okay, that's good. Move on, Pastor. I got to move on. Oh, my goodness, or I'll be turning this into another five-part series. All right. All right, so a mediocre manifestation of his life comes from a mediocre relationship with him. Good, let's go on. Luke 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God has been preached, and everybody is pressing into it, forcefully, violently laying hold of it, because it's good news. It's a good word. It's a good message, I tell you. And since, see, till John, the law and the prophets were preached, but after John, Jesus came and introduced a new kingdom. So, and everyone is pressing into it. John 3, verse 30, he must increase and I must decrease. Who prayed that prayer? John. It was a legal prayer for John. It is not a legal prayer for you. It was a legal prayer in an old covenant. It was a legal prayer for John, who was a forerunner, that he must decrease and Christ must increase. It's a lovely devotional prayer. Oh, more of you and less of me, more of you and less of me. And then heaven says, if there's less of you, who do I use? Less of you, who do I use? More of you, more of you. The passivity that's in the body of Christ is destroying its passion. You must increase. You, I mean, he created you to do something. You got to increase. You got to grow. You got to grow in him. I tell you, that was a legal prayer, a nice devotional prayer. But really, in this culture, you must increase. You must passionately believe for more. Because John the Baptist could have never been what Jesus was. Never. It was not legally possible. But in the new covenant, you can be like Jesus. In fact, now Jesus, the new and living way, has made it able that just as he increased, just as the Christ in him filled the earth, you now, Christ in you, just like Jesus was, so can you be. But you'll never be it if you're preaching, believing, and praying old covenant prayers. You must increase. I got to increase. I thought I needed to die. Yeah, but that's a part of the process of increasing. That's part of the process of becoming more like him and releasing more of him is the increase of his anointing, his power, and his majesty in your life. But it's not you backing away because he doesn't want a bunch of passive people. He wants a bunch of people that are actively, passionately engaging his purposes and his kingdom. All right, Pastor, thank you very much. Proverbs chapter 4, 20 to 27. My goodness. Says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. The word issues is the life tusa'ah. Tusa'ah. It means boundaries, limit, borders, extremities. Your heart condition then establishes the boundaries of your experience in life. So there it is, right there. Your capacity is determined by your ability to imagine. Where is your imaginer? What is your believer? It says, with your heart you believe, and with your mouth you confess. So your heart is your believing mechanism. Your heart is where you imagine. Your heart is where you dream and you believe. Your heart is your believing mechanism. You need to have a liberated spirit of faith operating on the inside of you. You determine the climate of your heart. You do. You. Sounds like more responsibility, Pastor. Yes! You determine the climate of your heart. If you got a bitter old heart, a plugged up heart, a nasty wasted heart, a heart that people drink from and go, ooh, you did that. Take a big drink of his river. And then you see it's not less of you and more of him. It's just drink more of him. Just keep on pouring in the purity. It'll get rid of all the junk. More, 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 more. You determine the climate of your heart. Your heart's a canvas. Holy Ghost, the artist. The word of God is the oil. Let him dream wild and crazy dreams through your believer. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the old heart of stone out and get rid of it. And I'll give to you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And you'll keep my judgments and do them. What are the judgments of God? I condemn right now sickness in the name of Jesus. You are judged right now. You have no right to be here. Go do the judgments of God. You are a demonic presence in this life. I judge you now. I cast you down. I judge you in the name of Jesus. Get out of here. I got a new heart. I got a new spirit. Then he filled me with his spirit so that he can cause me to be who he called me to be and do the stuff he called me to do. Fantastic verses. I love that stuff. And that's ours. All right. Zig Ziglar. Good old Zig Ziglar. You remember Zig? Zig said, no individual can rise higher than the pictures that have been painted in their minds. No individual. Are you guys still here? You don't mind if I mess with you a little longer? Is it okay? Is anybody getting anything at all? I know I go on, you get tired, and then I have these small groups, and I hear what you got out of it, and it wasn't much. And I get concerned sometimes, you know? I'm like, my God, the foolishness of preaching. Lord, by your spirit, please get them, get them, get them, get them. All right. Psycho-cybernetics, that's scientific stuff right there. It says ideas and actions that are contrary to a person's belief system will be rejected and not acted upon. You can be like Jesus. You can walk on water. You can heal the multitudes. You can do it. Yeah, not me. Good day, Pastor. Real nice service. Yeah. And you walk out just like you came in. Why? Because in your head, you're saying, not a chance. So turn to your neighbor, point at their head and say, for sure, for sure. All right. All right, are you ready? I'm going to do this really quick. Cheryl, can you do me a favor and plug that electrical cord in? All right. We're going to get deep in it right now. You ready? How many ready? Okay, Cheryl, you're gonna have to come help me because I gotta hold my microphone. All right, we're gonna start there. Okay, just for those who are listening out there in media land, I'm screwing a light bulb into a light socket. Boom! Woo! Let there be light. Is that amazing? You know, so we have a. Can you dim the house lights? Other lights? dim lights, do something with lights. Let there not be some light. Okay, so, you know the problem with that is if I leave it there too long, it gets hot. You do it, because women have more fat than men just for that reason. Okay, so that was a pretty good light, you know. But you know what you do with that light? You put it in your oven, and it lights up your casserole. So it's pretty good. It's not a bad light. And it's limited because it has limited capacity. Now, I don't know a whole lot about electro stuff. Jeff should be teaching this, not me. But I do know that I do know there's a lot of power coming out of that socket. You know, I pretty much got all of Niagara Falls coming out of there. I got, and pretty rough, you know. So there's no limitation with power. Literally, God is always on full. So a lot of people, though, I don't think they think God is on full. And so they think that, oh, God, you've got to do something for me. I mean, you got to help me because, I mean, oh, God, do something. God did it, done, it's all there. Now, this is another type of heart. This is an angry heart. It's a heart full of rage and full of anger. So if that resembles you, stop it. Because, you know, what changed? Did the power change? Did anything change? No, what changed was the capacity, the bulb, the color. It changed, right? So let's try another one. You ready? Let's try another one. Oh, now this person is blue. Person's sad. So why are they sad? Because the power of God's not there for them. God hasn't done enough for them. His joy isn't sufficient for them. His word doesn't work for them. No, they're sad because they have chosen with their heart to be blue. So you know why you're blue? Because you choose to be. I know that's hard to take, but let me give you another word attached to that. Stop it. Okay, thank you. You need your glasses? Let's try this one. You just... Oh, I like that one. Now, it's kind of squirrely and twirly, so that means it's a charismatic light bulb. But it's also yellow, so that means it's a caution charismatic light bulb. So, but you see, that's what happens with those. So let's see what else we got there. But I do want you to know the thing is the power... the power has not changed. The power is exactly the same. But there's a lot of people going, God, send more power. He's like, I'm on full now. The problem is your capacity to receive. Ooh, now this is a very intelligent bulb. This bulb uses, it gets maximum manifestation with less effort. It's an efficient bulb. It's an efficient heart. It's a heart that now I only do what I see the Father doing. And it manifests a pile of light without a lot of energy. No striving at all, just glory, glory, glory. Good. How's that? Did you lose your way? You forgot where you were? Let's try that one. That's a good one. Yeah, we haven't done that one yet. No. Try that one first. Oh, man, that's good right there. That also is a smart bulb right there because that uses less energy but gives you a lot of light. So that's really good. You can get rid of that one. Now, I don't know. This one is called a reveal bulb, and it's made in China. So. Whoa! See, some bulbs shine brighter. Isn't that really cool? All right, just got one more just because two more because I know you're all getting terribly excited. Oh, now look at that. It's a clean heart. That one for me is like a newborn baby, a newborn child of God. It's all clear and everything's all loving. Hasn't got the full capacity to reveal and manifest everything, but oh, it's nice and tender, nice and clean. One more, just one more. Now, if we die, it's because we broke CSA rules, but... Yeah. Ooh, now that's good right there, hey? Eh? Man, now that's more right there. Now that's a light that can make a difference right there. Woo! All right, thank you, Vanna, very much. Appreciate that. Why did I do that? It's real simple. But I get a lot of people who are kind of, the way they pray sometimes, the way they approach things, is like, well, I'm just waiting for God. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not waiting for God. You know, and a lot of people are like, well, you know, God someday is going to loose the power to get this done. God already loosed the power to get, in these last days, he's spoken to us through his son. There's nothing going to change, nothing happening. All right, now I want you to understand, how many God just, that was helpful? Could share that with your neighbor, and if somebody tells you that I'm just waiting for God, you slap and say, no, pastor said no. Okay, I know the children are getting restless, and the Sunday school are getting restless, but I have 8 points to give you. And I'm going to do it really fast, all right? Can you give me 10 minutes? Do I have to? Yes. All right. Here, go quickly. Go to Luke chapter 5, because we'll finish this. Then I can get on to Christmas sermons. All right. Luke chapter 5, verse 11. This is important. This will change your life forever. Luke chapter 5, verse 11. Now, let's look at the context. Jesus, what's he doing? Jesus is looking for disciples. Jesus is praying about disciples. He wants to call some disciples to himself. He wants to get some team members who he is going to impart his life to. That's the context of this passage. That's what's going on. All right. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we toiled all night. We caught nothing. Right now, I say, receive your healing." I've tried healing for years, I'm telling you. I've been striving for healing forever. I mean, you're just another one of those guys going to slap me on the head, touch me, anoint me. I've been anointed by the best, I'll tell you. "We toiled all night and got nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners, got the other boat over. They came and helped, and they filled both the boats with fish so that they both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Verse 9, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish and they had taken. And also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So when they brought their boats to land, they sold everything, got a great big bunch of money, made an offering to Jesus, and went and lived on the rest." No, when they got to shore, they brought their boats to land, they forsook it all, and they followed him. All right, 8 things. Ready? Going to go really fast. It's a shame that I'm going to go really fast. It really is, but I took too much time on the first part. So here it is. I'm going to give you these principles. These principles, it's just handles for you, and these are things really, if you meditate on this, you can walk in more. I double dog dare you. You can do it. Number one, you got to have an expectation. Jesus, we're looking for disciples. He's looking for people to partner with him to bring his kingdom and manifestation on the earth. First thing, what was he looking for? Expectation. He's walking along, and he saw these guys washing their nets. So he decided, "I'm going to use these guys." Why? Because they're washing their nets. What have they been doing? Worked all night, toiled all night. But when you toiled all night, now your nets are filled with murky water, rubber boots, and all kinds of other stuff. Instead of saying, "I'm tired," throw your nets aside and go to bed. What do? You clean your nets before anything else. Why are you cleaning your nets? Because I'm going fishing again. So a lot of Christians stop cleaning their nets. They have no expectation of nothing. "I'm not cleaning my nets anymore. I don't believe for nothing supernatural." If you're believing for the supernatural, you start cleaning your nets. You start dealing with things. You start preparing yourself. 3 things about preparing your net. 3 things. 3 things that happen. You wash your nets. What do you wash your nets with? It says they wash their nets with water and they rub them with oil. That's how you wash a net. Fresh water. Clean out the old dirty stuff, the murky stuff. Wash that out and rub it with oil. Wash it, mend it. If something's broken, if there's a tear, you mend it. What's that all about? It's making sure that your life is free, bitterness, unforgiveness, all those things. You're repenting as you read the word and you're soaking things and as you're tugging and lubricating things, the Holy Spirit touches an area. You say, "I got to deal with that." You deal with it. If you're a person of expectation, you don't have unresolved issues in your heart and in your life. You're living straight, simple, clear, crystal every single day. And then stretch them. And you love to see people that are washing, mending, and stretching, because those are people who just aren't expecting a harvest. They're expecting the biggest one they can possibly get. So that's the first thing that Jesus is looking for. He's looking for people with expectation. Number 2, going really fast, all right? Participation. Love this. David Yonggi Cho. Listen to this. Now, please, listen to this. God never works anything independently of you that concerns your life. "I'm just waiting for whatever God wants to do." That is so not right. God wants to do all kinds of stuff. In fact, God says, "What would you like to do?" God literally says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and I will do it." Did you know that God loves your dreams? Did you know that he created you like him? That he can only do what you're the one who imagines and asks. Well, God, what's your imagination? What's yours? He's interested in you. He created you with all of that capacity just like him because he wanted all the multifaceted wisdom of God to be manifest through you. He wants you to dream, you to believe, you to hope, you to expect, and he wants to pour on that. Go, I love that heart, an expecting heart, a wild dreamer. I want to bless that one. That's Young E Cho, biggest church in the world today. Powerful manifestations. His church lends money to the South Korean government. I mean, here's a guy who had a wild, crazy dream. That's the stuff right there. First, let me be captain of a little. God says, push away a little. Let me use your boat. Let him in. Believe something. Give him an opportunity. Participate in what God wants to do. Number three, impartation. What was he teaching? Wouldn't you like to know when he stopped teaching, he told them, go cast out your nets. Well, what was he teaching, Pastor, though? Well, if you study the synoptic gospels, the parallel gospels, you'll find out in Mark 4 that he was teaching. What did he teach? So he got into the boat and he sat there on the sea and the whole multitude was facing him on land. And he taught them many things saying, listen, behold, the sower went to sow. So what was he teaching that day? What was the word he was teaching that day? He was teaching the word that talked about your heart condition. The sower, the seed, the word of God is powerful. You can sow, but the only thing that determines what you're going to receive is your heart. Just like those light bulbs. The power, the juice of Niagara Falls was flowing through that thing, but it was the bulb that determined the capacity. See, your heart determines the capacity. So Peter's listening, and he's been out there fishing. He's going, So it's all about your heart. That's interesting. And he's hearing all this as Jesus is teaching. And so what happened there? The word of God brings an impartation. There's an impartation of the word of God in your life that's going to stir up faith in your heart to begin to do something. Number four, if you're going to walk and be a more kind of person, you got to forget the past. Because the past will always try to shape your future. But you got to forget the past. Well, I used to be passionate. I used to pray for people all the time. I used to witness to people. Pastor, I used to be so on fire. What a sorry statement that is. You're basically telling me you're backslidden. If there's ever a time in your life you're more passionate than for God than you are today, oh my God, you need to come to the altar today. Forget the past, because here it is, we labored all night, exhaustingly, and we caught nothing. We've done evangelistic things before, Pastor. We did outreaches before, Pastor. Oh, not again. Oh, we've done that, Pastor. I gave a sacrificial offering once, and nothing happened, Pastor. Forget it! You got to forget the past, I tell you. If I will use any sense of loss to propel me into future gain. It's a good thing right there. I will use any sense of loss to propel me into future gain. I will not create a theology that makes my lack manifestation. Okay. Okay. Number five. How many are tracking with me? There's eight, so you know when it's dinner time. Number five, you got to have a spirit of faith. We toiled exhaustingly. Faith begins where your ability ends. You know what? You might have done everything. I did all I could to catch a fish, but you know what? I'm exhausted. I fished all night. I've now cleaned my nets. It's the morning. All I want to do is sleep, but you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to loose the spirit of faith in me. Paul said, for I labor under weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which you so mightily enkindle in me. Number six, I told you it's going to be fast. Sorry it's fast, but I tell you, if you take it, meditate on it, it's going to work. Obedience, straight up obedience. Here he says, here's what's really going on in his mind, all right? I fished all night. I fish here every day. I'm from a generation of fishermen. We catch fish on the Sea of Galilee at night. You don't catch them in the morning, especially midday like this. That's ridiculous. But I'm willing to do something grossly unconventional. I'm willing to do something that everybody else will be, what are you doing? Even his workers might have said, we just cleaned the nets. You're going to mess them up again because some wacky preachers just throw them out in the middle of the day? Oh, no, I got to go home and sleep. You want me to back here tonight? Are you kidding? Are you crazy? I want tonight off if we're fishing today. I'll tell you. And Peter's like putting all that out of his head. And he's saying, he said do it on the authority of his word. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to throw that thing out on the authority of your word. What is it? Why am I doing this crazy unconventional thing? Because I have a promise to appropriate. I have a living, powerful word from God that will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent. I got a word from heaven, and I'm going to appropriate it right now. So he did it. Obedience, even if it's unconventional. Living in the supernatural means that you're often going to operate in ways that violate natural laws. You're going to tell people who can't walk, get up. You're going to tell people who can't see, see. You're going to tell people who can't hear, hear. You're going to tell people that are dying, live. Number seven, Is this helping anybody here? Don't want to take up your precious time. Verse 6 to 7. The nets were breaking. They were filled. Both boats got filled. And so much so, the boats began to sink. Oh, we toiled all night. We caught nothing. We toiled. That's some of your experiences right now. Oh, I toiled all night, Pastor. I don't even have the results I'd hoped for now. I mean, I've been hoping. I'm not even realizing things I dreamed about years ago. Oh, you're getting me all stirred up again. Oh, no. Are you kidding? If you'll do that, if you'll partner with God for more, I don't mean just more. I mean supernaturally reckless more, crazy more. Let's go into 2012 with a lens of just supernatural fascination. Boom! You know what that'll lead to? It'll lead to experience. The net was breaking. The boats were filled. They all began to sink. I mean, Pastor, man, we got so many people in the room, the air conditioners keep on blowing up off the roof. We can't keep the place cool. I mean, we're so overflowed with people. We got 10 services going a day. I mean, people are coming from all over the place to be healed and set free. Man, it seems we can't handle the increase. Can you see that? I see that. You see, I see that. So I'm sorry that I'm so annoying. I'm sorry that I'm driving you nuts. I'm sorry that I'm pointing out the lack in your life and mine. You know, I'm really not sorry. Quite honestly, I'm not. I don't even apologize. I see impact churches all over this nation. Impact churches that have a reckless DNA of more, who will not be content, will not make a theology of average or mediocre, but we're here to take over and kick every single manifestation, how little it may be, of the kingdom of darkness. Get out of Canada! Oh my God, Pastor. That's just, oh, I don't know. I think I got to go find an average church. Bless you. We already took the offering, so bless you. Number eight, dependence. And here's the thing. Come on. Some of you still in your minds are going like, this sounds exhausting. This sounds like more work. This sounds like he wants us to do church more. Is he going to hold service? No, I'm not holding services more. I just want you in the flow of your everyday life to be like Jesus. We don't need more services. We just need you to have more services everywhere you are. At the water cooler, shh, Jesus. You got to start back, but Jesus be healed. Boom. Oh, you better get up. You're on the clock, my God. Boss, I don't know what happened. He had a bad back. I touched him. He fell. I'm really sorry. But, you know, anyways, oh, my God, what happened to him? He said, oh, my God. Come home, honey. What happened? I don't know. The whole office was slain in the spirit today for hours. They all got caught up in the heavenly realm. I don't know. I think I'm going to get taken up to the Human Rights Commission, and they're going to fire me because I didn't even say anything about Jesus. But apparently, my bulb has increased, and I'm whacking everybody I run into. So I don't know. I went to church, and I said more. All I said was more. That's all. I didn't say anything else. I didn't try anything else. I didn't do anything else. I just looked up, and I said, more! And now I'm whacking everybody I run around in. It's so embarrassing. How are you today? Can you get up? I really want the coffee. I mean, my God. Hello? You go to the drive-thru, they say, what can I get you? Hey, how you doing? Your voice just right through the thing. Where'd they go? What's going on? You drive to the drive-thru, you look in, everybody's slain in the spirit in Tim Hortons. And just your voice went across the thing. The power of God just wiped the place out. You got to walk in and go, hey, you guys all okay? What happened to us? Oh, it's just the glory of God. And they start weeping, a sense of sin in their life. They go, oh my God, I need to be reconciled to God. Oh my. And then you have a revival in Tim Hortons. The drive-thru gets messed up, wrecked, and all these people get touched and delivered and set free. That just happened in my head. It was a movie. It was so awesome. Can you picture stuff like that? Now, don't go out there weird and try to make it happen. That would make you kind of the loopy light, you know. Because it's just natural. It's just being you. It's just like walking. I mean, people got whacked with Jesus and he didn't even know. People were just putting a demand on it. But you'll be so full of the glory of God, it'll be unconscious. Because unconscious acts are the most genuine. It's the people that are consciously trying to be, I'm full of God today. I'm going to whack you with the glory. Do you want a coffee, idiot, or what? But when you walk in and just an unconscious flow of his goodness, that's beautiful stuff. All right. Forsook all and followed him. He's the source of my life. Matthew 13:46 says, who, when he had found the one pearl of great price, he went away and he sold all he had and he got the pearl. Oh, that's, you meditate on that for a minute. Sold everything he got because he got this. You see, the thing about Jesus, you can leave the biggest catch of your life. Let your relatives and stuff have it and they can carry on the business, whatever. You can leave the biggest catch of your life because you realize that the one who with a word makes it happen is the guy I walk with every day. I don't live out of this. I live out of this. I live out of this relationship. Therefore, even what I got today, I can give it all away because I can call it all into manifestation again tomorrow. Because I don't live out of what I can do. I live out of what he can do. And all things are possible to him that believes. Problem is, we got Jesus and blank. It's time to remove the blank and just have Jesus. And just get reckless. And if there's any gap, don't fill the gap. Just say, more. More. A life of dependence is a life of supernatural recklessness. A life of dependence is a life where you give and you give and you give because you know that I can never outdo this thing. And no matter what he calls into manifestation, it's not like, oh, he's tired. He can't call that catch in again. Are you kidding? Let there be. Let there be. Well, you have to have wisdom though, Pastor. There it is again. Creeps in. See that? Yeah, but Pastor, you can't give recklessly like that. You can't. You can't if you don't believe his word. But what if we really did? What would that look like? Wow. One more slide. One more slide. I would like more. How about you? How about you? How about you? Oh, God. I thought this was going to be one sermon. We're going to try and do it all in there. I didn't realize it was going to turn into 10. I still tried to preach 10 in 3 weeks. I pray, oh God, I pray that you're getting me. I pray that you're hearing what the Holy Spirit's been pressing on my heart and in my life. I pray you get it. Because there's so much more. There's so much more. And here's why it's important. Here's why it's important. There's a whole bunch of people there going to a lost eternity. And if we don't press in for more, if we don't go for it all, who are they going to hear from? Who will tell them? Who will manifest it? If you think, well, we're just waiting on God. No, he's waiting on us. Let's be that people. Let's be a more people. Let's be a people that just, we won't try to make a theology for the blank. We're just going to say, Jesus, more. 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 Well, come on, stand up. Let me pray for you. You know, maybe you're here today and you really do. You need healing in your body. I'm telling you, everything necessary for you to be healed is already done. It's already done. It's not that God's got to drop, download more power, or there's a certain time, or there's a fixed day, or you're waiting for something. Everything you need for that to be done, it is done. You are healed in Jesus' name. It's finished. It's finished. It is done. And you know what? I pray right now today that if you've got any sickness in your body, that you would put a demand on it right now. Because he wants to do it. He really, really does. And you know what? If you need more of his life, more of his health, more of his power, let's demand it. Let's expect it. Let's believe that. I mean, if you got things in front of you, mountains, obstacles, things that you know, that fills your vision more than Jesus does. You need him. You need more of him. I tell you need to get whacked in him. You just need more of him. That's all you really need. That's how simple it is. So the dream, the passion that I have, all I need to do that is just really get more of him. Yes. And you know, in that more, suddenly, through a relationship that is easy, beautiful, fresh, and flowing, you'll get revelations, you'll get dreams, you'll get access to information that without more effort and more energy and more time on your part, you'll be supernaturally brought into a realm where you'll manifest things so quickly. And it's going to be supernatural. It'll break every single natural. It'll violate every natural law, and your life will be unexplainable. And all you need for that is to say, I want more. And if you need more in your life, if you got issues in relationships, you got issues in a marriage, you got issues with kids, you got issues where you're not manifesting the purpose of God in your life, God wants to do it. You just got to say, I can see a healed marriage. Done. I can see a child serving God. Done. Because if you see it, you can have it. If you ask, he can do it. He is able to do. You just got to ask and imagine. You come up here saying, I imagine right now a body free of diabetes. I imagine it. I see it right now, and I'm asking you for it. Somebody's going to agree with you right here, and it's going to happen right now for your honor and your glory. It's got to start to happen every single time we gather. If not, I'll keep pressing for more. I tell you, this is so real. It is so real. I want you to walk in it. You know, no more striving is going to do it. No more your energy is going to bring it into manifestation. But if you'll turn to Him, He is ready to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or even imagine, according to His power that's at work within you. Oh, it's according to His power. Well, what is His power? Is He holding back on you? You mean He only gave you a little bit? You mean God didn't give you the full Spirit? It says that the anointing abides in you permanently if you're a child of God. It's not that there's something lacking or missing. It's not that there's something lacking in this church or in the sermon or anything. Now you got to believe. I rebuke lack. I rebuke every single manifestation of the devil. I rebuke every scheme of the enemy. I rebuke every scheme of the kingdom of darkness. I command it to leave this house, the people in this house, the lives in this house. I loose the kingdom of God, your life, your power, as it is in heaven, is our standard. It's coming against the demonstration of God's full inheritance in my life. I cast it down now in the name of Jesus. I insist on health, peace, prosperity, blessing in every single realm and in every single relationship for your honor and for your glory, to manifest your glory in and through the church in Jesus' name. So Father, we call it into manifestation for your glory and your honor. Now, in Jesus' name, I bless this house. I thank you for your love. It's your love and the manifestation of it, the depth of it, being rooted and grounded in it, that's going to make the difference. So let the revelation of your love, Father, be on everyone. Jesus, your grace, it's the unmerited favor of God. It's your want to. It's your desire to. It's that you have qualified me. It's your grace. You are the new and living way.